WRKS Pickens Jackson.
Are you ready?
Yes! Now live from the Whiskey 61 Lounge inside the Bank Plus Studio.
You are listening to
Mississippi's number one sports talk show, The Out of Bounds Show with Bo Bounds. Streaming worldwide live on the Out of Bounds radio app and on your radio at ESPN 105.9. The Soul.
Hey, Kessler Prom has Patron Tequila, super premium, 100% blue agave tequila, Kessler Prom in the Renaissance. They also have Long Branch Bourbon, and they have Tito's Vodka. Call any of those at Kessler Prom in the Renaissance, KesslerProm.com to make a reservation. And you can hammer a 12-ounce filet with the side of crab meat and order a little bacon, too. It can be a side or an appetizer. Either one. I didn't know that y'all were going to get this into the cocktails that we were throwing out. So we've got a poll on the Twitters, at Bo Bounds. We would like for you to go vote on Twitter, at Bo Bounds. Twitter, at Bo Bounds. And they only let you put four up there. Some of y'all, when we do different things like raise hell about, I can't believe you didn't put X, this one, this one, this one, this. Well, I mean, if they let us put eight different options,
we would.
So whether we're, we could be debating some po' boy, like what's your favorite po' boy? Shrimp, crawfish, oysters, soft shell crab,
gator,
But we get four options, and we've got the old-fashioned, we have the martini, we have the Bloody Mary, and we have the margarita. John Texas, I don't know how I didn't come up with, a Tito's Vodka Bloody Mary. But Blake says there's only one right answer. Blake already tweeted us.
It's the old-fashioned.
And he says the old-fashioned. So you have, again, an old-fashioned, a martini, a margarita, and a Bloody Mary.
How many dinners have you and I gone to? A lot.
Yes.
What do I order every time?
Old-fashioned.
Pretty much every time.
Yeah. I order them a lot, but I don't order them every time like you.
Yeah. I'm not a tomato juice guy, so Bloody Mary is a no-go for me.
Okay.
But I do love Tito's Vodka, and so I'll go a mule, like Moscow Mule. So I looked up some different lists, and I came up with Mount Rushmore may not be the right word, but there's kind of like a top eight that I seem to be able to find. It was the old fashioned, the martini, the margarita, the Bloody Mary. And then it also had, we'll add in the Manhattan, the daiquiri, the mojito, and the Moscow Mule.
Ah, the mojito.
Those were kind of eight that seemed to be on almost every list.
Okay.
And you can order one of those at almost any bar.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much any bar can do that. So that's
for the most part.
They pretty much stand the test of time, I feel like. If you could only have one, which one would you go for?
And we didn't put the White Russian on there, and we didn't put the screwdriver on there.
Yeah.
I made a ton of screwdrivers in the 90s.
I wonder if those are as popular now as they used to be.
They're not.
I don't think they are.
Because there's so many other customized drinks now.
To use vodka in. Exactly. Yeah.
Because of the mixology and bartenders more creative and restaurateurs allowing their bartenders to come up with pretty much elaborate bar programs. We didn't call them that they were the two nicest restaurants in the state of Mississippi in the mid 90s.
Yeah. Your mixers were still OJ, cranberry, water, and soda, right? You had a little more than that, but in reality, it's not like today where you go to a bar and there's 38 bitters on the bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is too many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But it's still fun. It's still fun.
No doubt.
I mean, that's part of the excitement,
The only thing is you got to get your drinks out.
Well, you can't be slow.
Yeah.
Mixology.
And so what's happened at some is, you want to have this big craft menu and mixologist. But, dude, people that just order a glass of Merlot or people who order, you know, a Yingling, or people who order a Long Branch with a big rock, they want their drink.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of the best people that I've ever been around, successful restaurateurs, had one of the best quotes in the 90s. I mean, he said, and he tied it in with Mexican restaurants, and he said, why do you think they, so many of them have been so successful?
Takes 30 seconds.
He said, they have you chips and salsa and your drink on the table in 30 seconds or less.
Immediately.
If you get people something liquid, then it gets them into something else. But if it takes a while to get a drink to the table, you're done.
I'm with you.
Okay, 100%. Back to the giveaway.
Yes,
you want to? All right. So we're going to do a Whiskey 61 bar pack giveaway. I just found this Patron stuff, and it is so nice. I mean, these things are really high end. So we've got some beautiful glasses. We've got some cocktail shakers from Patron, Long Branch, and Tito's. Yep. We'll put together we got to on National Cocktail Day.
Got to.
Put together an awesome Whiskey 61 bar pack for those of you who are interacting with us on this topic.
Yep.
That's how you enter to win via the text line, and that's Ag Up Equipment, 601-885-3776.
We've got some good lists on here so far.
All right, go ahead.
TJ said Sangria should be up there. It's an interesting one.
I disagree there.
But it is the only wine cocktail that I even know of, really. I know there's probably some other versions, but...
We're in the bar scene spirit partners sangria. And so on. Yeah. Whether it's Patron, Long Branch, or Tito's, I don't see a lot of that.
Yep. Bloody Mary was one that was... put out a lot, obviously. Because
tomorrow morning around the country,
well, golf
when
courses.
People go, whether you're going to eat brunch, whether you're going to your local dive, whether you're going to the golf course, Bloody Marys with olives and bacon and okra and celery and all, you know, whatever, cut up sausage. It's part of the deal.
Yep. Somebody said
Two brothers in Starkville will be pouring Tito's Vodka Bloody Marys tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. right when they open the door.
Yep. Tito's Vodka Bloody Marys, mimosas, and screwdrivers are the top three brunch drinks.
Okay, now mimosas should be in there.
But it's a time-specific drink. You don't ever drink a mimosa after 11.
Easy, buddy.
Come on.
You know, last week when Raggio did his big thing, they were serving... mimosas.
That's smart.
Spot on.
Mac brought one up that we haven't talked about, but obviously for the time period, it's about to be hugely popular. What always hits between kind of Masters and Kentucky Derby time?
Mint julep.
The mint julep.
I'm not a mint julep guy, but I get it.
As a bourbon guy, I like the mint julep. It's not something I could drink. I couldn't order it every meal.
Well, I take that back. I can do half one. Yeah. Like if Winnie and I split one.
Yeah. Crawfish boil, give me one to start the day.
Oh,
and then
really?
Then I could switch into some like just regular bourbon on the rocks or something. Yeah.
Okay. Can I go back to the mimosa real quick?
Yes, please.
I love all of our restaurateurs and everybody in the culinary business. It's me bartending, I think, is the reason why I'm in sports talk radio. But it's a half of a splash when you're making a mimosa. I don't want a lot of OJ. I want Prosecco. Actually, I just want Prosecco. But if we're going to do a mimosa, I want Prosecco with a half of a half of a half of a splash.
That's how you make them at home. When you're trying to hit that bottom line, that is not how you make them at the restaurant.
No, I get it. I get what they're doing. Very much so. Very much so. I also agree with Dat Boy. You know, when you're doing a Bloody Mary and you want to take some of the acidic pop off of it, just put a shot of Yingling on it.
Oh,
okay, and then you're good.
Yeah, and Turd Ferguson's right. You know what's really boomed in modern cocktail mixology? The varied mimosas. So now you can get like pomegranate mimosa, or strawberry mimosa. You know,
I had one when I ate at Bouchon in Vegas when you left to fly out to Ireland, and I was bouncing around that last day by myself. I don't know why it looked good. I also ordered a Tito's Vodka Bloody Mary, but I got a pomegranate mimosa. I mean, These guys and girls at Bouchon running that bar, I'm talking about top of the line. Best, some of the best customer service I've ever had in my life. I have to tell you about this game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to ZBiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers. Hey, y'all. You know I love my meal kits from Home Chef. Home Chef is awesome. Wendy and I love it. We've ordered the meals. Empty Nesters makes it easy for delicious, nutritious meals brought to you by Home Chef. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/OOB. That's homechef.com/OOB for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/OOB. We love it. You'll love it. Wendy and I love it. Check out Home Chef today. Oh, good morning. Welcome in. Out of Bounds, 105.9 The Zone, ESPN. The weekend has started. That's a good thing. We're giving away a Whiskey 61 bar pack in honor of National Cocktail Day. What would Kansas State be? Basketball is a cocktail. What would Gonzaga be? What would Alabama be? What would...
Alabama be PBR.
Wow.
It's the blue ribbon.
Bama as PBR.
You don't like it. You hate that they're successful, and yet they somehow continue to sell millions.
There's nothing wrong with an ice-cold PBR every now and then.
Dude, all right, I'm going to throw a bone to somebody who's probably, like, bankrupt almost. Buffalo Wild Wings back in the day used to do tall boy canned PBRs for a dollar.
Did they really?
It was like 20 ounces of PBR. And they would, because it was in a can, they didn't pour it into a glass because, you know, PBR doesn't go in glass. It's not, you know, solo cups only, right? So they put the can. They'd put the tall PBR can in a brown sack and put it on the table for you. So it was just a brown sacked can of PBR.
Buffalo did that?
Yeah. Like, you went to the gas station.
I mean, I went a lot in the late 90s.
No, they didn't. It wasn't on the menu that it was
early. Early 2000s.
Yeah, it was on. They would have like PBR, like normal, and then you just say, I want the tall one, and they'd do it for a dollar.
And then I went back, like, starting 8-9 years ago, because my son liked the trivia.
Yeah.
And he liked the wings.
Well,
and he was 8.
Pre-ESPN Plus, it was the only place you could go to get weird games. Like, if you wanted to watch all the NFL or all the college football, that was one of the few places where it had every TV, you know, every game was on.
That's when you saw the shift to entertainment systems like MSSmartHomes.com, the shift to people doing more things in their game rooms, living rooms.
Yep. Home gating, baby. Became too easy.
We weren't talking about man caves when I started this show. And now, you know, you hear the term, you know, man, or any number of terms around that. And so... Yeah, that and what happened was you have more access, so you don't have to go to that place. Out of Bounds, 105.9 The Zone, ESPN. Kansas State won, Gonzaga won. both our SEC teams bounced. Arkansas and Tennessee are out.
Arkansas was outclassed.
Yeah, they were.
Tennessee just did what Tennessee does under Rick Barnes. Choke.
And they did have some injuries. And, you know, but yeah, no, Barnes, you know, they made it to the Sweet 16. That's
exciting.
That's a success.
It's like kissing your cousin.
Well, he'll keep his job and get paid a ton of money doing that.
That's facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Mississippi State Ole Miss baseball. You just got to go to regionals and every now and then supers and then
once every 5 years, Omaha. Yeah.
I don't, yeah. And this weekend, there is a lot on the line for the Mississippi State baseball squad. They're hosting a team that's better than them, but they are at home and they need to get at least one game. If they, for somehow, some way, could win the series, it would be almost pandemonium. And then they need to avoid getting swept. You can't start off 0-6 in SEC play. And, you know, Ole Miss is 0-3, too. They're hosting Florida, who I don't know how to handicap that one, to be honest with you. I'm not prepared there, but I'm confident in that Vanderbilt's better than Mississippi State.
Vandy coming in 10-1 in their last 11.
Okay.
Their only loss was a Sunday loss to LMU 9-6. They've been dominant. 10-1 in their last 11. They always have MLB talent, but right now they're playing back more to the like pre-COVID Corbin Vanderbilt than what they've been kind of in the last couple. I mean, granted, they made the national finals in 21, but they had an off year last year. Now they're back. Let me ask you this question. You know you're outclassed in Starkville. You are pitching a freshman on Friday again, and you don't have a Sunday starter listed right now. I mean, I asked you this 2 days ago, but I'll ask again. Odds, handicaps, are you over? You think they win one? You think they win zero? I mean, it's got to be at a half a game for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
You feeling good about one?
No, I don't feel good, but okay. I think they're perfectly capable of grabbing one. Let's see what the agup.com text line thinks. How would you handicap the Mississippi State-Vanderbilt series? 601-885-3776. Blake's got it. If we put it at a half game, you going over or under?
I'm going under.
Okay.
Which puts you at, in theory, your best case scenario, it feels like, barring some craziness, is 1-5 in league play after 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. If you're 1-5 in league play
with 24 games left
and you need 13 wins.
14.
Well, but you would need 13 to get to 14.
I'm sorry, you gave them a win.
You'd be 1-5.
You went under, but you gave them a win in this scenario.
I think best case scenario, it will take some monumental swings, both Vandy making mistakes and you playing better than you've played in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
For you to win two games.
Actually, it'll take some monumental performances on the mound.
Yeah.
I meant
swings in play. Right?
Got it.
Sorry, not swings like baseball swings. Yeah. Swings in terms of Vandy would have to start playing bad and you'd have to start playing better than you've played since Tanner Allen walked out of the dugout for the last time.
PT4MSU on the agup.com text line says under a half a game and two mercy rules. Now, Steven goes more optimistic. He says 1.5 at home, they'll win one.
If you gave me 1.5, I'd hammer under with my second mortgage.
All day long.
I would remortgage my house.
All day long.
And I would hammer under 1.5.
Nobody's giving those. Steven's way off.
Chris Hopwood would shut the sports book down.
Nobody's giving you 1.5 against Vanderbilt on this series. None. None.
I wouldn't give you 1.5 if you had Jake Mangum and Tanner Allen on the roster. I mean, even then it would be insane.
Well, because again, it goes back to the mound.
Yeah.
There's just too many question marks. You don't have an ace and you don't have a Saturday guy. So what do you have?
Yeah. And Ole Miss is in this. Ole Miss doesn't have the pressure of, hey, you bottomed out last year, so you can't do it
again. That's exactly right.
But I think you heard from Brad Henderson this week. It's not this whole like, oh, make it till Hunter Elliott gets back is a pipe dream.
Yes, it is.
There's some serious questions in Oxford in terms of who's really going to start Friday through Sunday. It's a prove-it weekend for them, too.
Yes, it is. Sure. Look, if we're sitting here Monday and one or both of the teams are 1-5 or 0-6,
which is a high probability,
it'll be. I mean, you saw what our numbers did last Monday on Meltdown Monday.
Yeah,
it will be Meltdown Monday with even more lighter fluid.
Yep.
And if it doesn't matter that it's Vanderbilt and it doesn't matter that it's Florida with these two fan bases, if one or both are 1-5 or 0-6, it will be a Meltdown Monday.
Yeah. And let me ask you this question.
And good grief. You better hang on.
About this time last year is when Ole Miss took the nosedive and people started going, oh, Bianco's getting fired. You know, who are we hiring? Are we hiring Chris Godwin or this guy or that guy, Dan McDonald? How much has to go wrong for Ole Miss to get back into that vibe? See, like for Mississippi State and Lamonis, there were no feelings because he had only been there for a couple seasons.
Right.
Bianco had, there was Bianco fatigue to the point of people were ready to ship him out. Did that really
go? Well, he was fired April 1.
Did that
go away? Then he won the national championship on like June 20th.
Correct. Did that feeling go away or did it just get covered up? And if it just got covered up, how many bad weekends does it take to get uncovered?
Coach fatigue can be back in a millisecond in Oxford. And I know that sounds crazy, but I am right on that. Out of Bounds brought to you by Core Cryotherapy and Wellness. Core Cryotherapy and Wellness in the township across from Sombra. They have IV therapy treatments for your immune system. And they can help you feel better, operate better. I've had three of them so far. Core Cryotherapy and Wellness in the township across from Sombra. And they also have whole body cryotherapy. And I've done that before, too. It's pretty awesome. Check it out today. Core Cryotherapy and Wellness in the township across from Sombra. Steve Robertson coming up next on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. Steve Robertson next. Well, I found a pullover in the back, and it's a Long Branch Bourbon pullover. Yeah, Long Branch Bourbon pullover, but it's a little big for me. I've got the one that fits me at home. Yeah, so I still think it looks great, though. It's got Long Branch on the left arm. And I'm left-handed, so that's pretty cool, too. Out of Bounds, ESPN 105.9 The Zone on National Cocktail Day. We'll tip of the cap to a Long Branch Bourbon Old Fashioned. Order one today. Also, shout-out to Two Brothers in Stark Vegas, Mississippi. Two Brothers, baby. Starkville, Mississippi. Pre-game, post-game, maybe during the game, the way they're playing. But, I mean, Barton and T-Powell don't care. They're great with whatever. But wings, tacos, their burger is very underrated. A lot of times Barton's doing something, you know, some kind of special, whether it's throughout the week or weekend. Atmosphere is awesome. Upstairs, downstairs, whatever. It is a good place tomorrow morning. Tito's Vodka Bloody Mary, smash some wings, get going, and have some fun. Enjoy Oxford and Starkville regardless of what's going on, you know, on the field. I know some of you can and some of you can't, but have fun in Oxford Swayze and have fun at in Starkville and Duty Noble. I'll be in Starkville. I'll be at Duty Noble Field. I don't know how much. I'll be bouncing, you know, kind of in and out, but Wendy's coming with me this weekend, so it's a different deal. You know, she's good with whatever we do, so we'll kind of float around a little bit. I will not be pitch to pitch. How about that? You know what I'm saying? A lot of times I'm sitting down, I'm locked in. And then sometimes I'm social, Bo. I'm, you know, kind of flying around. Be more social. I'm going to hang out with Kendall Collins. That could be dangerous. And we'll just kind of see how that works. And Nick Fulton from USA Pawn.
Oh,
that could
be
dangerous,
real
too.
Real dangerous, yeah.
Yeah. And USAPawn.com and their mega, mega, mega store, which is really, really nice, over 30,000 square feet. I-55 South McDowell Road. Nobody does pawn in the Southeast like USA Pawn, USAPawn.com. All right, we're efforting Steve Robertson. Evidently, he's trying to warm up his arm because Mississippi State may need him out of the bullpen this weekend. Dogs and the Commodores and Rebs and the Gators, baby. So out of those two teams, Florida has the better uniforms. Yep, I'm going orange and blue over gold and black. Although I like what the Saints have done with their uniforms the last decade, for sure. There's a cool factor there. But I'm just thinking off the top of my head as far as uniforms, I'm going Florida over Vanderbilt. This is ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Don't forget that Spring Street Cigars is open in Oxford and Starkville. So this weekend, if you want a premium stick, Spring Street Cigars in Oxford and Starkville. Not only do they have a humidor, but they have a place where you can smoke your cigar. Both have lounges. Very, very nice. And you can smoke outside at both. The upstairs balcony in Starkville and the back patio in Oxford, where I was with Patrick Kelly and Dole Bryan during football season. And we ended up at Spring Street in Oxford after a wonderful dinner when I did that remote for Finch and Kelly. Do we have Steve Robertson? All right, Boneyard. 247 Sports, Gene's Page. Steve Robertson joins us on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. Steve, I think getting one is a monumental task for this team this weekend against Vandy with 11 arms back. And Corbin looks to be rolling after a slight dip coming off Mississippi State beating Vanderbilt in the championship series 2 years ago. But to win two is you know, that is a monumental challenge. Handicap it. We'll start with one. How did they get one this weekend?
Well, that's a good question. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on how you pitch it this weekend. And what I mean by that is the rotation. I mean, Sunday is a TBD day, right? They have not announced a Sunday starter. I think some of that kind of relates to Nate Dome. You know, if you can get through Friday and Saturday without having to use him, then he goes on Sunday. I just begin to wonder, though, if you ever get in a situation where you have a lead late, you got to use them, right? I mean, you simply have to. But if you can get into Sunday, I think State's offense is good enough to hit Sunday pitching. I think they've got a good chance to get that game. You know, the rest of it kind of boils down to how well Vanderbilt does offensively. And that, of course, relates to can State throw strikes or are they going to walk the ballpark? If they throw strikes, this Vanderbilt offense has been up and down a bit at times this year. They had a really good weekend against Ole Miss last week. And you kind of wonder, is that the anomaly or is that their identity? Because they have really struggled to swing the bat at times this year, hitting around, what, 280 or so? So we'll see. But I'm with you. I mean, they need to get State needs to get to. But I think they're going to need some help from Vanderbilt in order to do that.
Mm. All right. So you mentioned Dome. People were asking about him earlier. And are you surprised Girangelo is still going Friday?
No, I'm not. That kid's a freak. I mean, I'm not the least bit surprised that he's still going on Friday. And, you know, last weekend was the first time he'd thrown a baseball game in his life in a temperature less than 70 degrees. You know, it takes him a little while to warm up. I mean, you look outside of that first inning, he was absolutely outstanding. But, of course, that first inning counts. But I think now that he's had the experience, he's pitching back at home, I expect him to go out and produce a good start tonight. I'm eager to see how he does against this Vanderbilt lineup that does have some swing and miss in it. So I think Girangelo gives you a good chance to win on Fridays. And if you had told me 2 months ago he'd be the Friday starter this year, I don't know that I'd believe that. But here he is. He's acquitted himself really well.
Okay. What are your thoughts? We had a couple of listeners that said put Girangelo on Sunday. He'd be the best SEC starter on or one of the best, if not the best, on Sunday.
Well, then you're just giving Friday away. Yeah, you know, I don't think you can afford to do that. I think you got to put your best options out there on Friday and Saturday and figure it out on Sunday. I think moving him to Sunday, you're basically just kind of waving the white flag on Friday. Yeah, I still think Nate Dome needs to be in a starting rotation. And I think now with Nixon getting healthy, and yes, I know he had a little struggle on Tuesday, but he's fine. He's going to be fine. He's just a little bit rusty. But getting Nixon back on the back end of that bullpen gives you options with Nate. We discussed it on your show before. You get him back, all of a sudden, you know, Nate becomes a guy that maybe can get you five or six as a starter. Yeah, I think Gartman's a guy too. I think you pair those two together just because it's a different look. You know, it's a different look. It's a different velo. It's a different arm slot in many respects. But I think there's a place for everybody. But I think if I had to go fill out a lineup card today for the weekend and everybody's available to me, I think my rotation is Gerangelo, Lofton, and Dome.
Wow. Okay. All right. I don't remember, Steve. I know you do. You were there. I didn't stay with the game long Tuesday. I don't want to surprise you. How many pitches did Lofton throw on Tuesday?
Yeah, he threw 79 or 80. So
oh,
he's not,
wow.
Yeah, that's why I said if he was available.
Got it. Got it. Okay. All right.
And honestly, I think if you don't get a good Sunday start this week, I think then you throw somebody else against Samford, it could turn it into a Johnny Holstaff day on Tuesday, and you move Lofton to Sunday.
Gotcha.
I had a major baseball scout told me last year in advance of the draft that Bradley Lofton was good enough to pitch in the SEC on Sundays last year as a high school player. And so now that he's here, and you know, the walks have got to get better. He had a good day Tuesday, but you know, but it's all within himself. You know, it's not like it's not like he didn't know how to compete. And that's the thing that I've noticed about him is at times he'll pitch himself into trouble, but he's talented enough to pitch himself out of trouble.
Well, how would you handicap it? Blake's got it at a half a win over under in the Mississippi State Vanderbilt series.
Well, Blake had that 2 years ago. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know that I can put a lot in stock in what Blake's got to say this morning. You know, I don't even know what Blake had for breakfast, but, I think State could get one. And I think, again, you know, this weather situation is going to be interesting too. But
what's the latest?
And they're expected, you know, some serious weather after the game tonight. You know, they got meteorology experts. I've got my weather app on my phone. You know,
so, me too. I was just looking at it.
But, you know, for all week, it's shown that, you know, weather's good Friday and Saturday and then rain on Sunday. And, you know, and then all of a sudden we get a little, one of our posters even posted up, the National Weather Service is forecasting severe weather for Starkville Friday night. I'm like, I don't know where you're seeing this, you know. But yeah, now here we are. And, you know, could be some pretty serious weather for Central and North Mississippi tonight.
All right, who has to get going at the plate now? Like, can't wait any longer.
Well, I think, you know, that I think Imani Larry has dipped a little bit. You know, you'd like to see him get out and be the table setter again. I think Colton Ledbetter's picked it back up a little bit. They got him working backside a little bit. An interesting note I dug up the other day, Ledbetter's played in 22 games and reached base 21 of those 22 games, you know. And so even when he isn't hitting bombs, he's moving the order, you know. And so I'm interested to see what they do with Aaron Downs this weekend. And I think one of the reasons that he played on Tuesday is there's a good chance he DHs some this weekend. I think, you know, Vanderbilt throwing all these lefties, you've got to get some right-handed bats. And State does not have a true power right-handed bat. Most of the power is on the left-hand side. And so it'd be nice to see Downs have a good weekend. He had a good game Tuesday. Granted, it's Arkansas State, but it's good to see him get out there and swing it around a little bit. But, you know, State needs, I think, Aaron Downs to get going a little bit. I'd like to see, you know, Ledbetter, maybe the power numbers come back a little bit. You know, he carried us for a while. And I think putting Hunter Hines behind him gives him some protection. You know, Hines in that hole on Tuesday was rather interesting. And so I think Tuesday's lineup might be a little bit of a preview of some of the things you see this weekend. But I think Aaron Downs is probably a player to watch this weekend. I don't know that he has had the opportunities perhaps that he deserves so far, and it's just because of competition, you know. But him being the DH this weekend against those left-handers could be interesting.
Steve Robertson on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. Chris Davis commit. Let's talk football. Chris Davis committed to Ole Miss. You know, an athlete out of Picayune who can fly. Mississippi State has their quarterback and an offensive lineman in the class. Where do you see this spring/summer football recruiting trending for MSU?
Well, I think it's going to be a very interesting year with recruiting in Mississippi. And I touched on it on my Wednesday show, is that in some respects, and I mean this with all due respect to everybody involved, in-state recruiting the last couple of years has been kind of boring. And a lot of it's because State and Ole Miss hadn't really gone head-to-head for a lot of kids. I mean, last year, you know, State's Got a lot of in-state kids, but outside of maybe Kelly Jones and one or two more, they kind of got them by default. And then you look at Aiden Williams, of course, and Get Perkins, you know, they were going to Ole Miss basically since birth. And so there wasn't a lot of drama. This year, I expect there to be a ton of drama when it comes to in-state recruiting. Number one, the state's absolutely loaded this year. I felt like it was going to be a really good year bordering on Greg. And the longer we get into this evaluation process, the depth and the fact there's so many players in this state that already have SEC opportunities. You already had a couple guys, and Norrell White commits to Arkansas, and J.J. Harrell's committed to Tennessee. I mean, to have early commitments to out-of-state SEC schools this early is just, I think, a pretty good indication it's going to be a pretty crazy year. You know, probably a good year to be subscribed to 247 Sports, because I think there's going to be a ton of drama this year. And I think it's just really starting to build. And again, it's the quality of the prospects in this state. And so you're going to have a ton of out-of-state offers. And you're going to have a lot of head-to-head battles between state and Ole Miss.
Well, all right. Norrell White out of St. Martin's, Ocean Springs. Is that done? Does Mississippi State want him? Does Ole Miss want him? What's going on there?
I don't think anything's done with anybody at this point. Yeah, I think JJ I think the process is really just starting. And I think a lot of guys, too, they're just kind of learning what their true options are. You know, and you take a visit and you go out there and all of a sudden it's like, you know, this is amazing. We've had a handful of kids the last couple of years have committed to Oregon, you know, and it's like you go out there and see the facilities and then all of a sudden you got to realize that you can't get in the car and come home. Well, we'll get in the transfer portal, right? And so I think that's a lot of this stuff in the beginning. It's easy to be committed to a team that's 7-8 hours from home in March. It's really easy to do that. But what about when all of a sudden the reality situation comes in December, all of a sudden, man, playing at State and Ole Miss doesn't seem like such a bad deal. You know, I can come home. And so I don't put a lot of credibility in these decisions this early. I think really at this point, all you really know is who's leading. I don't think that those decisions are done. And I never, ever count out the in-state schools, ever, at any point. That's not just in Mississippi. It's Alabama, Georgia, whoever. It's so difficult to beat the in-state schools on a kid they really want, unless you're a really special program. And so I don't know at this point that I would consider Tennessee or Arkansas special programs. And I think at this point, nobody can count those, take those commitments for granted, because I think State and Ole Miss both are going to be on both of those young men until the end of the process.
And are you expecting a two quarterback class from Arnett and Barbé, because Petty's sitting there at Starkville after they landed the kid out of Mobile?
Yeah, I think it's still probably a matter of discussion, but if I was betting on this, I would expect a two quarterback class. And I'm out there yesterday at practice, and it's good to be back out, you know, and have a chance to take some pictures and see guys. But you know, you get three scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. That's it, you know, and one of those is a true freshman. And so, you know, I think when you look at the fact that, you know, I don't know how long Mike Wright's going to hang around. Does Will Rogers go pro this year? You know, I don't know. And so I think you've got to go out and get a couple quarterbacks just to begin to kind of replenish your room, you know. And I think Petty obviously is a local guy that's not scared to compete, but I don't think he'll be in any big hurry to commit and be a second quarterback in the class. I think it's probably something that happens much later in the process.
Were you surprised that they went ahead and took Josh Flowers, the quarterback out of Mobile, knowing that Petty is 2 miles away from the Mississippi State campus?
No, I was surprised that Josh Flowers was ready to commit this early. I wasn't surprised in the least that State was ready to take him. I think he's a very dynamic player. And if I had to handicap it, I would take Flowers over Petty. I mean, if you just turn the tape on, and I think Petty is a guy that's still, you know, obviously got some development to undergo. But, you know, he's right down the road. You can't take him for granted. But if it ends up being a one quarterback class, I think State's done exceptionally well getting Flowers, because he fits exactly what Kevin Barbé wants to run under center.
When are you expecting some commitments to come in? June? For Mississippi State, or before then?
They'll pick up a couple between now and then, but I think a lot of it's a spring evaluation period. You know, you want to get through your spring and you want to have a chance to get out and go see some of these kids in person, but they're doing a good job of week to week hosting prospects. You know, I mean, it's like they had like a junior day event, but it hadn't been the big cattle call thing. They're making these, very specific invitations for unofficial visitors coming in, doing the photo shoot. And that way they can kind of allocate more time and effort to the priority targets. And so I just don't get the sense right now that they're really pushing for a lot of guys, you know, especially with the defensive line class in the state this year. I mean, you better do your due diligence because there are some really, really good ones in the state this year. And the more that I watch film and the more that I learn about kids, the more I realize that, you know, I don't know that State or Ole Miss, either one or even Southern Miss, has to leave the state of Mississippi to fill their needs on the defensive line. And so you better take your time and get it right, because if you make a mistake with an in-state kid, you're kind of saddled with that commitment, and you may take the wrong kid if you make a jump too soon.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Steve Robertson, Jeans Page, 247 Sports, and the Boneyard Podcast. Steve, have a good weekend. Thanks, man. He joined us on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. Bundle your car and home and save with your Farm Bureau insurance agent, favrates.com. You can hit it right now. Get a quote in 4 minutes or less. FAVE, favrates.com. So it sounded to me like Steve was talking about getting one game for Mississippi State. Obviously, you'd like two, but trying to find a way to get a game. Do you like the idea of moving Girangelo to Sunday?
I thought Steve's take on the idea of waving the white flag on Friday is an interesting take. Your job as a head coach is to win games. Win games.
But if it sends a message in the clubhouse...
Does it?
It could. Very well could. Because they're not dumb. They understand what kind of, you know, stuff that kid has.
If you get Cade Smith back, it's an easy transition, right?
Yeah, but he's not there yet.
I know. But
so
but
we're
that's
dealing
all
with this weekend.
All I hear from Steve is, well, if you get this guy back and if you get that guy back, that's all we hear from them.
No, I think, but with what you got to work with right now.
Yeah.
Girangelo.
What's your best chance to win one against Vanderbilt? Is Girangelo on Friday a better chance to win than Girangelo on Sunday?
No.
Okay.
And then Dome. I almost wonder if you start Dome on Saturday, but they're going to give Gartman another run at it. But I get the combo of Gartman and Dome. And
well, in theory,
Aaron Nixon is back, but what kind of is he still on a very, very low pitch count?
Well, and I think the one caveat to the Girangelo on Friday and Gartman on Saturday is, in theory, if you get blown out and or win, but you don't have to use Nate Dome on the first 2 days, well, then Nate Dome starting Sunday is probably your best starting option outside of Girangelo starting
Sunday. And
Dome
may be a better option, but you're exactly, we may be splitting hairs there, and I don't know. I know they're obviously both different. That's a good point. I don't know how. Well, if you get blown out, then Dome is still there.
Correct.
On Sunday.
I don't know how you win and not use Nate Dome.
Well, that's a
is kind of your point. Yeah.
All right, let's switch gears to Lamar Jackson. Blake, what do you make of one of Lamar Jackson's pals who's trying to negotiate as an agent who's not a registered agent is getting basically censored by the NFL?
Well, and I don't even know if they're pals or if it's his weird business associate that he's got now. So Lamar Jackson, it went viral yesterday. The NFL front office put out a cease and desist memo, essentially saying teams cannot negotiate with a man named Ken Francis. Which
that is such a great name.
I promise that's not a made. Well, it may be made up, but he is a real person. Like, I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a meme. I thought someone had like hacked the NFL account or something. Ken Francis is this guy's name.
He sounds like a guy in a Tom Clancy novel, right?
My first thought was, is this a guy that's like hooking up with some chick on Ashley Madison and he's using a fake name at a Motel 6?
Okay.
Ken Francis, right? Like, I need a fake name. Well, the NFL puts out a memo. Teams cannot negotiate with this Ken Francis guy. Well, it comes out that Ken Francis, who is not an NFL agent, is a Florida entrepreneur and inventor who has come out with a new workout program and machine and somehow got partnered up with Lamar Jackson, who's going to endorse this workout machine, and then may have started negotiating for Lamar Jackson with NFL teams.
Don't you love the fact that he may have been sitting like in his living room within the last couple of days and just said, you know what, I'm going to call the front office of X.
Just see what they'll give Lamar.
And just see what they'll give to Lamar. I'll start negotiating.
Lamar came out in a tweet yesterday and said, man, y'all stop lying. You know this man ain't negotiating for me. And then an hour later, posted a tweet with a video where he calls Ken his business partner and unveils the new workout machine.
All right, so where is this trending with Lamar Jackson?
One, is this the most botched job of like a contract negotiation / QB in his prime ever?
Very well, especially modern era. Yeah. Ken Francis. I don't know. He's Lamar Jackson's buddy. And everybody's an entrepreneur if you're on Instagram, so he also claims to be an entrepreneur. We're live at the Bank Plus studio on a Baseball Hoops Friday.